Yes, I am going to get a haircut soon. Why do you ask? I did get Charles Rutsch's address correct yesterday, his email address. And of course, I was just hooked on September. So I couldn't get August 21st in my mind because the month of September was so pressing down on me. But I made a little correction there during yesterday's show. I told you, sometimes it's amateur hour, but we are taking a mature look into the Word of God, and we're finding things because we look a step deeper that other people just are not finding. Back to Charles Rutsch, charlesrutsch.com. This is folks, let me get that right this time. It's charlesrutsch@gmail.com. That's his email address, Charles Rutsch, charlesrutsch@gmail.com. Tell him Martin Zender sent you. Man, he published, he paid for the printing of a lot of First Idiot in Heaven books. So, again, much thanks to Charles Rutsch. He's in Sacramento, California area. And so he is selling the books that he has at an incredible discount, $1 per book. This means that I do not make any money on them. I do not care. I don't want to make money on them. I want to get them into the hands of people who can then become members of the body of Christ so that we can together bring the last member into the body of Christ and get the heck out of here. I'm speaking relatively, of course. Nothing can hurry the hour because Christ alone knows the hour that we will be taken into heaven to assume our rightful roles as inheritors of celestial reign. But you might as well feel good about things here. We are to herald the word opportunely and inopportunely. These were my marching orders from 2 Timothy chapter 4. When I read the book of 2 Timothy, like with a fine-tooth comb before I began this work full time. Herald the word opportunely, inopportunely. Expose, rebuke, and entreat. For the era will be, this is prophecy, where they will not tolerate sound teaching, but they will be heaping up teachers in accord with their own desires, and they will be turned aside to myths. Today is the day of myths, theological myths, expounded upon by the Christian church. By the way, some have said that there is no prophecy being fulfilled today. What? What? Now see, when I get my hair cut, I won't be able to do that and have it flying around. Yes, prophecy is being fulfilled today. Paul was a prophet in 2 Timothy, big time, chapter 3. In the last days, perilous periods will be present. That prophecy is being fulfilled today. And then in 2 Timothy 4, people will heap up teachers in accord with their own desires and will be turned aside to myths. That's being fulfilled today. The passage of time, even though it's not specifically a prophecy, is being fulfilled today. So, do not think prophecy is not being fulfilled today. So write Charles Rutsch. Go to that charlesrutsch.com and ask him to send you a carton of books. I think there's 32 books. I mentioned this before. I'm saying it again because this needs to be our occupation. In the last years of Millennium 6, the last days of Millennium 6, is to get out the Evangel of Paul while we still can, because this window is closing. Email Charles Rutsch. You'll have to negotiate a price for shipping. I don't know what he asks for shipping. It costs a little bit to ship the books, but you're getting 32 books for 32 bucks. And what you do is you just hand them out. No, you don't even do that. You can do it anonymously. You can be stealthy. You can have an adventure. It'll be fun for you. Just put the books somewhere. Put them in the bathroom. Put them on a table at your dentist's office. Put them on the street. Put them on a park bench. Put them in the grocery store. Who leaves books laying around? This is incredible. You're leaving a $20 book, you know, and you're getting it for a dollar. It's got to cost you something, so you suffer a little bit for the evangel. You got to put yourself out a little bit. And you could bring the last member into the body of Christ. And people are getting this. I got an email from a guy. I don't have his permission to read this yet. He hasn't gotten back with me. But he's giving me some feedback. And I want to read this to you before we get into Revelation 12. The wording coming up in Revelation 12 is really aggravating to me. I don't like it. And it starts to make me think that with prophecy, maybe we're not supposed to know minute detail, but we're definitely supposed to see the lay of the land. We're definitely supposed to see large objects. You know, objects in mirror may be closer than they appear, but we don't know how close they are. This guy says to me, "Brother Martin," you know what I feel about that. That's nice, brother. I do feel a bit like a monk. Brother Martin, that's okay. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. Just wanted to say thanks. I've been studying Ernest Martin for a while and eventually discovered your stuff. I loved your book on Paul. Makes so much sense. You do make sense for a living. You can't say anything better to me. I've started a YouTube channel. And once I have permission to talk about this, I'll give you this gentleman's name and I'll link you to his YouTube channel if he wants me to. I've started a YouTube channel under inspiration from your teaching, as well as Ernest Martin, Alan Hess, Clyde, and others. I've been following your Revelation series and I figured that at some point I should reach out and thank you for your labor for the sake of the evangel. You're welcome, my friend. Thank you for taking the time to write me and thank me. I go on here. I've purchased a few copies of First Idiot. Here's what you need to do, my friends. I've purchased a few copies of First Idiot and have given to loved ones. And praise God, they are seeing it. See, I get excited. My voice cracks here. It's happening. I've heard more than once, I've heard many times, in fact, that the First Idiot in heaven is changing people. They're seeing it from this book. If you don't see it from this book, you are locked up in stubbornness indeed. This gentleman goes on, thank you, thank you, thank you. And thank God, our Father and the Lord Christ Jesus, for using you as they have. I like how he calls God and the Lord they. I love that. That is so true. Plugs into truth there. Jesus being the Son of God. I want you to know you have a brother in me should you ever need me, and I encourage you to keep going. You're making a difference by God's grace. He signs it in his service. And that's it. We are all in the service of God and Jesus Christ. And I'm happy to be a fellow laborer together with you. So here we go. Revelation 12, the wording is difficult. It's almost ridiculous. It angers me. I'm upset about it. I'm upset at John. I'm upset at Jesus Christ. I'm upset at God. Not upset. I'm just frustrated that it's got to be so cagey. The language has to be so obscured. But again, this is just my little human disturbances on the surface. Deep down, I'm thankful for every word. I know it's inspired. I know it's supposed to be difficult in this part. I know other things we've knocked down, other things we just have a broad view. We see large objects. It's like seeing a satellite view from space. I can see that there's a nuclear facility there, but I can't see what the people are eating for lunch. Like a spy satellite. Yeah. I can see cars. I can see that there are 67 people working here, but I can't make out their license plate numbers. Okay. In Revelation 12, we're not making out the license plate numbers, but we see that there's a factory here. And we think that they're making a nuclear material, and we're pretty sure we know the timing because there is a constellation. And how would this constellation passage be better presented? How would I, Martin Zender, write it? I would say let me get the date right here because I get confused. On September 23rd. There will be a sign in the constellation Virgo and the constellation Leo. And, you know, I would just be very specific. John would never be hired as a newspaper writer in any newspaper in the country. He's just too vague. Okay, with that introduction, I'm going to attempt. This is like the flying Walendas here. I'm like juggling chainsaws here for you. Do not attempt what I am about to attempt at home. I am a trained professional, and at great personal and professional risk, I am diving in to Revelation chapter 12, beginning with the hard part, verse 5. Oh, anybody can talk about verses 1 through 4. I'm going into verse 5 and beyond. Yeah. So buckle in. Hang on with me here. So we have the dragon. Let's start at the end of verse 4. And the dragon stands before the woman. I'm reading from the Concordant Literal New Testament, by the way. Might as well give myself a head start. As hard enough as it is, I'm not going to be using no King James Version here or the New Inconsistent Version, the NIV. I'm using an accurate translation. The dragon stands before the woman who is about to be bringing forth, that it may be devouring her child whenever she may be bringing forth. And she brought forth a son, a male, who was about to be shepherding all the nations with an iron club. Okay, the woman, by all accounts, remember, this is a sign. This is a sign, so we're looking for things that signify things. The woman is Israel, and the son are the sons of the kingdom. The woman is a corporate woman. So the son that is being born is a corporate son. You see what I mean? It's not, we see a woman, but the woman represents an entire nation. And we're seeing a son. The son represents people. I believe probably the 144,000 or the vast throng. There are two groups mentioned specifically. John saw, and I saw 144,000, 12,000 from every tribe of Israel. And then he said, and following was a vast throng. So there's a lot more people who are enlightened, but I don't think the vast throng, and I've heard people call it the vast thong. Don't do that. Don't. It's not a vast thong. It's a vast throng. Okay? And she brought forth a son, a male, who is about to be shepherding all the nations with an iron club. This is obviously the kingdom. We know that Jesus Christ will shepherd the nations with an iron club. So how is it that this male son is about to be shepherding the nations with an iron club? Wouldn't this male son be Jesus Christ? Be careful here. I can see how you would think that, but remember, this is a vision, and I told you that the 144,000, as well as anyone in a position of leadership, anyone as part of the hierarchy of the kingdom, will be acting in the stead and under the direction of and with the full authority of Jesus Christ. So when we say Jesus Christ is reigning in Jerusalem, and we're looking at King David, there's no inconsistency there. Jesus Christ is reigning through David. David is, he's delegating responsibility. David is acting in his stead, in his name. And Jesus Christ could say, if you hear David, you hear me. When you hear David's declaration, you hear my declaration. I gave him my authority and my name. That's how this works. Here's the tricky part. And she brought forth a son, a male, who was about to be shepherding all the nations with an iron club. And her child is snatched away toward God and toward his throne. Her child, the male child, I believe the 144,000, the corporate son, Jesus Christ, remember, brings many sons to glory. And if you need to go back to Hosea 5, do it. Hosea 5 talks about a son being born. We should go back there and just to cross-reference, and I will tomorrow. I'm not turning this page, okay? And the woman fled into the wilderness. So the Christians talking about this sign on the intranet, I like to call it the intranet today, they are saying that this is the snatching away of the body of Christ, only they call it the rapture. No, rapture is a Blondie song. The Greek word is harpazo, and it means snatching away, and the Concordant translates it snatching away. It's very picturesque, it's very accurate, it says what's going to happen. What rapture is, I don't know, besides a Blondie song. It's a swoon. When you take drugs, you come in a rapture. It's not what the word we want to use here. Let the Christians use it. They're all wrong anyway. And even if this was the snatching away, they're not going because they're in the body of Christ. I've gone over and over this. They don't believe the elements of Paul's gospel. Only members of the body of Christ get snatched away. Israel doesn't get snatched away. It's completely practical, my friends. Why would you snatch away a people whose destiny is the earth? And they're already on the earth. It's a total practical thing. And some people are teaching that Israel, like Clyde and Stephen Hill and that other guy, I can't remember. Anyway, they're teaching that the snatching away is for Israel, and Israel's going to be taken into the air to meet Jesus, and then they're coming back like a broken elevator, whoop, 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 or a yo-yo. No, that's not happening. Israel doesn't need to go anywhere. Their realm is on the earth, and they shall be priesthood, and they will be reigning upon the earth. And so why would you snatch these people away? That's why they're going through the day of indignation. They're going through the tribulation. And those who overcome will be saved, and they're staying right here on earth number two. This is earth number two. Earth number one was disrupted. This is earth number two. Earth number three comes after the new heaven, after the great white throne judgment at the end of the kingdom. So it's the body of Christ that's taken into heaven. Why? Because Philippians 3:10, our realm, or is it 2:10? Read the whole book of Philippians, you'll find it. Our realm is inherent in the heavens, and we are seated among the celestials, Ephesians chapter 2, in Christ Jesus. So, simple. Okay, so they see this phrase used here, and it's the same Greek word behind it, harpazo, and her child is snatched away to God and to his throne. And they say, snatched away, oh boy. But snatched away, the word harpazo, you have to look at the context every time. Because in another place, I think in one of the Gospels, it's used to describe how a wolf snatches away a sheep. You have to look at context. It's a generic word. It's a 10-cent Greek word that can be used for anything. That's snatched away. Snatched away your hand out of a fire. There's no scriptural context with that, but I'm just telling you that's the kind of thing it is. Snatch a child away off a train track when the train's coming. Okay? It can be used. You have to look at the context every time. Now, and another thing, in the Concordant version, there's a superscript D in italic after the word to. And if you look in the key in the front of the book, you see that that means this is the word toward. Why they don't put the word toward in the context, I'll never know. So her child is snatched away toward God and toward his throne. So again, why would you, and this very, it doesn't say snatched away to heaven, doesn't say snatched away into the air, does it? Doesn't say that the corporate son is snatched away into the celestial realms. Doesn't say that anybody's realm here is inherent in the heavens. Doesn't say it, doesn't say it. We got to get all these preconceived ideas out of the way and look at what this actually says. It says that, and her child is snatched away toward God, and toward his throne. And remember, this whole thing is a vision anyway. So it's a representation of a literal thing. So I'm completely different on this. This is my specific teaching as far as I know. If anybody else is teaching this, congratulations, because this is great, what I'm about to tell you. I believe that they're going toward the throne. They're moving toward the place of rulership. They're going toward God. When we believed, you can honestly say that we were snatched away. God took us, snatched us away from Christianity, and we went toward God, right? Didn't we? It doesn't say anything about the air or anything. We were snatched away from organized religion. We were snatched away from our families, from whatever rut we were in, and we went toward God and toward his throne. I've been moving toward his throne since the day I realized the grace of God in truth, according as I learned it from great teachers who taught the words of Paul, who taught the words of Christ. I've been going toward the throne of God ever since then, and so have you. So going toward the throne of God does not mean I've been taken to heaven. Doesn't feel like it. I'm in Fort Lauderdale right now, in a laundry room, being looked upon by Judy Garland here, and there's laundry, actual laundry today on the washer back here. All right, and I got time for maybe one more verse, and then I'm going to go on here with amazing feats of scriptural interpretation based on 40 years of study, based on a desire not to get lost in the trees, but to remember what the heck forest we're in, what the heck continent we're on. Many people forget what continent they're on because they're analyzing words and they're trying to sound smart and they're overthinking it. They're overanalyzing it. They're not unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid like me. And so they're losing it. And I think people get lost. They go off the rails because they're trying to sound smart. They're trying to come up with something esoteric or unique. But I am just, as an average, normal person, I'm a normal guy with this gigantic background of study and this gigantic background of walking with the Lord. And I escaped the snare and the trap of formal education and things of God. I escaped seminary. I feel so bad. I have a good friend, and I remember him telling me that his daughter and his son-in-law went into the seminary. And I'm like, ah, oh. But you know, he's telling me this with pride in the accomplishment of his kid. So you just have to, if somebody said, you know, oh, my kid got hired, you know, in a great company. Oh, that's great. I'm so happy. Or yeah, my kid graduated from, you know, the esteemed university. I would still be, oh, sorry. But when somebody graduates from seminary, I'm so pained. I'm like, Jesus, their heart, they're not going to get the truth in this life, barring a Paul-like miracle. Barring a road to Damascus experience, anybody who graduates from a freaking theological institution is doomed for the eon. All right, let's move on. So, and the woman fled into the wilderness. All right, so here's the weird thing. If the woman is Israel, and if the child is 144,000, let's just say, the woman fled into the wilderness. What about the kids? What about the 144,000? Where are they going? There in the wilderness, where she has a place made ready by God. So Israel has a place made ready by God, that there they may be nourishing her. Who's they? Who is they who are nourishing her? I challenge you to identify the people or the thing behind that pronoun they. I, Martin Zender, am going to do it right now in front of your very eyes. I believe that the they are the 144,000. They are nurturing the woman. They are keeping the nation or the national enterprise, the national dream, the national whatever alive. Because we're switching viewpoint. This is tricky. Could I be wrong? I really could be. I really could be. But I'm giving you an educated guess. And I dare say my guess here is superior to any guess you're hearing from a nominal Christian, a theologically trained personage on the intranet. The intranet. I know it's the internet. I like to call it the intranet. Who's they? I'm going to read it again. And the woman fled into the wilderness, there where she has a place made ready by God, that there they may be nourishing her 1,260 days. Remember I told you that the beast on earth is being animated by the beast, the dragon in the heavens. And the dragon also has 7 heads and 10 horns. But it's a representation of the beast on earth. The beast on earth looks angelic. It looks great. It looks white. It looks pure. But if John's looking at it and seeing it for what it really is, a dragon. So it's a presentation thing. Again, it's the Wizard of Oz. It's a great illustration. The great head of Oz in the hallway. The flames and the fire. The scary voice. Being operated behind the scenes by a kindly man. This is the opposite. This is a pleasing shape being presented. And an ugly thing running it from behind. I'm way out of time. I've gone over because I enjoy this daring do to such a great extent. But I'm going to have to pause for today. But I'm going to be back doing this tomorrow. And we're going to be getting into the battle in heaven. Many think that when Satan is cast out, and many think that this is when the body of Christ is snatched away. I don't think so. And I will tell you why.